Good to be back with you again this evening. Appreciate the attendance of everyone coming back. The scripture that was read a little while ago by Brother Mark talked about the church and it being a royal priesthood and a holy nation. I want to read that again in 1 Peter 2 and verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, we read about the same thing concerning the Israelites back in Deuteronomy. Whenever he talked about them being a peculiar people, they were a people that he chose. He made a covenant with him through Moses. He gave them the Ten Commandments. And they were expected to be different from the world, separate and apart from the world and not intertwined with the nations round about them. And we see that all through the Old Testament. Today I want to talk with you today about keeping the New Testament church undenominational, the danger of wrong speech. And there's several lessons that I've done in the past about keeping the New Testament church undenominational, but this one talks about some of the dangers of wrong speech. I first did this lesson 38 years ago at Lower Richland Congregation, and I did it a couple of months ago at Bethune. And actually, last time I did it here was a little over 17 years ago, so y'all might remember some of the points. But, you know, it's always the danger of the church leaving away from the Lord, and the danger was there in New Testament times. It is there now, and it always will be. Also, let us look at another passage in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians 11, and starting in verse 2, Paul writes to them and says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." You see, Paul was concerned about them. We know that the church at Corinth, they had many problems, starting in the first chapter with the problem of division, and later in the fifth chapter talking about fornication in the church. And he feared about them, lest one would come with another spirit, another Jesus, or another gospel. And really, that can happen. And it does happen. And that's why people have to be on guard. Any departure from God's word will cause the church to become denominational. It will cause souls to be lost. As Brother Mark's been teaching the class on Revelations in the seven churches of Asia, we see how they had problems, how this past Wednesday we studied about some being lukewarm. Others, he talked about, he would remove their candlestick. In other words, he would quit recognizing them as his church. And, you know, it's very important. Well, some of the forerunners of denominationalism is wrong thinking and the wrong attitude toward the scriptures. And therefore, you run into error. The danger of not putting an emphasis upon a "thus saith the Lord." Notice in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter 4 and in verse 11. And Peter writes here, he said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Excuse me. You know, the whole purpose of the church is to honor and glorify God. That's why we're gathered together here on the Lord's Day. We might worship God and try to be acceptable to Him. He desires us to worship Him. And that's what the church is all about. The Bible is written in words which the Holy Spirit taught. Notice in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verse 12. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and beginning in verse 12. Now, this is talking about the apostles, and Paul writes, he said, "Now we, the apostles, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." We realize that if we go back into Matthew the 10th chapter, when Jesus chose his apostles in Matthew 10, he named all of them. And then when he gets down in about verse 19, he's telling them how they will be delivered up. He said, "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." So these apostles were endowed with the Holy Spirit. The things that they taught was given to them by the Holy Spirit, and they are spiritual. And when we read the Bible, it's important for us to realize that these scriptures are there for the purpose of us to study and to learn. And God's exact meaning can be determined by precise language. He gives, all of these words are inspired. When we think about 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, we won't read all that, but every scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that's what we have to turn to in order to know what is right and what is right. We hear in the religious world all kinds of things that people say from time to time. I've heard people talking about God referred to him as the man upstairs. He's not a man. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit. He is spirit. And for them, somebody to think of him as a man or refer to him as a man, and I've even heard one preacher talking about, denominational preacher talking about my daddy God. Because using such language as that with no kind of respect for the Lord. So, you know, everything concerning the church, we need to speak plain, and we need to use language that is scriptural, that we can back up with book, chapter, and verse for the organization of the church, for the work of the church, for the worship, for everything that we do must be based upon scriptures. And that's the only way that you can keep the church from turning into something that man has come up with. We are not left free to express God's truth in human terms. We have scriptural terms to base our faith upon. The use of human words reflects a lack of faith in God's word. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it talks about that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we walk by faith and not by sight, we walk by the words which is given to us from God. Anything that cannot be read is not of faith. But you got all kinds of things going on in the world today that is nothing written in scripture about. Many of the names that people wear, you can't even find them in scripture. You start calling out and that's not in the Bible. So why do they wear names? Paul went through that with the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1. When he said, one saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. He asked a question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? He means for them to go by Scripture in anything and everything that they do. Notice in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter and verse 6. As Paul writes to Timothy, and he says here, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and a good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. Notice what Paul writes to Titus in Titus 2 and in verse 1. He says there, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is what you can put your finger on in Scripture. You can see what was delivered through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and they wrote it down for us. Notice down in verse 7 and verse 8, he says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound doctrine is important. It is what we strive to do here on McCray Road and always have. And I am so glad that we've had preachers that preach that over and over and over, that we go by the Scriptures and we don't follow the doctrines and the commandments of men. Human wisdom does not produce faith in God. It just don't work. Notice in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. And notice what Paul writes to the church here at Corinth. He tells them, he said, in my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's important to go to the Scriptures. Notice what he said in Galatians 1 and starting in verse 11. Galatians 1 and verse 11, as he writes to the church at Galatia. Galatians 1 and verse 11. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. I always tell people many times, we need to know what we believe, and we need to know why we believe what we believe. And that needs to be based upon a book, chapter, and verse. Because we think about what the Scripture says in the Old Testament in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. He talks about back there, the Lord said that my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord, and my ways are not your ways, and his ways are higher than our ways. So we can't use reasoning with man's wisdom when it comes to God. Divine ideas cannot be imparted except in divine terms. And that comes through Scriptures. If we speak the language of men, we will convey the ideas of men. And we have plenty of warnings of that through the Scriptures, warning about that, because human words and wisdom will not and they cannot convert men to the Lord. Now, people, as I mentioned this morning, they come up with all kinds of phrases talking about the sinner's prayer and just accepting Christ into your heart and faith-only doctrines and various things of that nature. I remember, I don't know how many years ago this had been, but me and Jim Clyde, Charles Carter, I would assume this had been back in the 80s. We went to Easley, South Carolina, which is way up near, it's a long ways up there. We was late getting back that night. And Brother Homer Haley was preaching up there, And one of the comments that he made, he said, what the Bible says and what the Bible does not say. And that's just another way of talking about not adding to it and not taking away from it. The danger of corrupt speech. Corrupt speech in religion must be abandoned. I want you to notice 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. As Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So it's very important to use the kind of speech that we can go to scriptures for. You know, we speak as we think. Notice Matthew 12 and verse 34. Matthew 12 and verse 34. And we find here a point that Jesus makes. And it's not Matthew, it's Mark. Mark 12 and verse 34. Mark 12 and verse 34. And that's the wrong scripture too. Anyway, the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. And I'll be receiving it wrong or saying it wrong. But, you know, it's important to use the kind of speech that we find in scriptures. Notice in Ephesians 1 and verse 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's one of the passages we used this morning about the Christ and the church and the importance of following the head, which is Christ. The church don't make the rules. But that's what happens in the world when we don't go to the scriptures, we start making up our own rules and doing things or whatever we think that ought to be done, and we run into a lot of trouble about that. We have corrupt speech in reference to the church. And sometimes we even hear brethren say, and we talk about the church. This is not the church. This building is not the church. And I come up all my life as a kid thinking about the church down the road or the church up on the hill. And the people, they say, oh, it don't matter where you go to church at or what church you belong to. And they miss the whole idea of what the church is. The church is the saved, as we studied this morning in our lesson. So when you're in reference to the building, call it the building, call it the meeting house, or it's where the church meets. If we go right down this road here to the last stop sign right in front of the hospital, there's Dr. Moore out there. His sign says Dr. Moore. Well, that building there is not Dr. Moore. That's where he meets his patients. The church comes here. We meet to worship God and to edify one another, to lift one another up. So we need to watch what we say about that, or sometimes refer to the Lord's church as a denomination. It's not a part or a fraction of anything. It is the body of Christ. It belongs to the Lord. And we need to think about terms like that. Or we hear terms, people talking about joining the church. Now, we understand that Saul went, after he was converted to the Lord in Acts, the 9th chapter, and tried to join himself to the disciples. He wanted to be, and they was afraid of him, and they had a good right to be afraid of him because he had been persecuting the church. But the idea is that we don't join the church that we read about, the universal church. The Lord adds to the church. But I remember coming up here and on TV and the radio, there was one man on there that had a music show Arthur Smith. Some of the older people might remember that. And every time he closed, he would say, go to the church of your choice, or join the church of your choice, and so forth. I've heard people talk about my church and your church. The church don't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. He purchased a church with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. And he is the head of the church. So people, they talk about my church and your church like it don't make any difference. We know that Jesus said, I will build my church in Matthew 16, 18. And we see that he did build it. So, you know, we need to be careful how we refer to the church, because it is the body of the saved. It is the ones that we started out our lesson in 1 Peter 2, a peculiar people that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's what the church is, the ecclesia, the called out. You have all kinds of corrupt speech in the world about the reference to worship, calling the Lord's Supper the Eucharist, or the sacraments, or some other kind of language for the Lord's Supper. And neither of them expressed the idea of a memorial feast like we had for the ones that couldn't be here while this morning, that it's still the Lord's Day. They can still remember Jesus' body. They can still remember his blood that he shed for us, that he purchased the church with his own blood. Notice 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16 gives us a good picture about that. And it says, the cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And we know the importance of the Lord's Supper. We should do things in a scriptural way and try to do the very best that we can, because Jesus is the one that instituted the Lord's Supper, and we observe that every Lord's Day to remember his death, to remember his body and the blood that was shed. We find corrupt speech in reference to persons, preachers particularly. Sometimes you run into all kinds of different things, you know, talking about our pastor or our clergyman. Or you see all kinds of titles that people use. It's just something that, you know, a man that's a preacher, he is not a pastor. They refer to that in the denominational church unless he is an elder. I don't guess I'll ever forget, right after Brent come back here, moved here, me and him, and I think Deborah Nixon come walking back there, and I don't remember where she referred to him as pastor or elder, and he said, oh, I'm not. And she says, well, you a bishop? You a bishop? He said, yeah, but you're going to have to blame that on my daddy. Said, that's my last name. And she says, oh, it dawned on her, you know. But, I mean, she was right in her thinking about, because elders are called elders, bishops, shepherds, pastors. But preachers are not, unless they are. They are evangelists. They preach the word. And it's important to understand that. But you know, there's all kinds of names that are given. Let's look at look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 1. As Paul writes to Timothy, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But notice verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So we see that evangelist, that's the job, is to preach the word. But his people, they are confused about different things. They wear all kinds of titles such as reverend. Reverend is only used in one time in the whole Bible. Not in all versions. Only, I think, as far as I know, the King James Version. It's in Psalms 111 and verse 9. And it's surely talking about God. Psalms 111 and verse 9. And it says, He hath sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. That's the only time I know of that the word reverend is even used in scriptures. And most other versions use a different word like awesome for that. But you got the preachers that wear these names because they want to be exalted. And Jesus had something to say about that in Matthew 23. Notice in Matthew 23, and we're starting about verse 6. Let's start in verse 5. He said, But all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, enlarge their borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. And he's talking about humility here. Verse 11, But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And verse 12, And whosoever shall exalt himself and obey, he shall be abased, but whosoever humble himself shall be exalted. The idea, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. If you are Christian, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free, you're all one in Christ Jesus. But I worked with a man down at the mill, and he loved to be called this title. You could see him just grin when people, they would come by and they would say, What you say, Reb? You know, and he would grin from ear to ear. They love that uppermost seat. They usually wear some kind of little collar that they can be identified. And that's what we see in the world that goes on today. And, you know, it's just not right. We are all in the same boat if we are Christians. There is no clergy. You go to the hospital, who gets the best parking place? Not the one in the wheelchair, not the cripple, but the clergy has got the closest parking places. And they are the ones that are exalted. I remember years ago we had a preacher here that just to tell you how the world looks upon these people because they look at them as clergymen, that they exalt them, they'll bow down to them. He said he went to the hospital to see, visit people a lot of times that was in there. And he said, when I walked in the hospital, he said, I was just a man. I walked down the halls and I met people. He said, but later he got a Bible study started in the carriage wing there. And when he went into the hospital that day, he would be carrying his Bible in his hand. And he said, I'd have it down by my side. But people saw it. And he said, you can see them coming down. It's just about like they... How you, preacher? How you, pastor, or whatever? That kind of stuff is just, that's the way our world looks upon it. And it shouldn't be that way. There is no laity and clergyman in the Lord's church. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Some people even elevate brother to a title. You know, we're all brothers and sisters. If we're Christians, we're all brothers and sisters. But sometimes people, they might call the preacher brother and nobody else. You know, we have to be careful. There are some other phrases that people use that they pick up. They hear in the denominational world. We hear it on the job at work. Oh, so-and-so got religion. Well, that's the religion is not something that you get. It's something that you live. But it's kind of like a outside force working against you in that respect, that it takes a hold of you. One man told me at work, one night I was on third shift with him, and I was trying to talk with him about the Bible, and he said, "Son, when that spirit hits you, you will know it." And it's kind of like you get zapped with the Holy Spirit some way to be saved. No, we talked about this morning, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of save. That is what Paul taught in Romans 1:16. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves us. We see all kinds of things going on in the world today. Baptism is an act of obedience upon the part of the sinner. And we talked about that this morning, Acts 2:38. And there are so many scriptures that we could even refer to in that. Mark 16:16, we realize that that is something to be obeyed. And it's not just baptism, it's hearing the gospel. It is believing, it's repentance, it's confession, and it's baptism. But to hear people say, so-and-so got saved, or got religion, or something of that nature. Other unscriptural terminology in the world talks about church weddings, simply because it's in some kind of a meeting house that people think is the church. Church got nothing to do with that wedding. The Lord is the one that adds. He is the one that adds man and woman together. He's the one that instituted marriage back in the book of Genesis. And, you know, and even among our brethren that we hear things that happens even in the Church of Christ. You know, and by the way, whether y'all know it or not, there's all kinds of Churches of Christ that wear the name. I saw one years ago, not long after I started church, almost 50 years ago, and we went to Roanoke, Virginia, and ended up there, and we couldn't find the church building, and we pulled up in this big parking lot, big old church building, biggest First Baptist down here with the steeple and all, with the buses sitting in the yard, and I told Diane, this don't look right. And we got these guys pulled up beside of us, and I said, do y'all know anything about the church that used to meet on Peters Creek Road, because we'd done been there, and they would move from there. One of these guys, he said, you're talking about the non-instrumentalist, aren't you? I said, why, do y'all use instruments of music in worship? The other guy said, oh yeah, we got a piano and an organ. There's all kinds of things that can go on in this world, and that's why we need to strive to keep the Lord's church what it is and what it's supposed to be. And it's just all kinds of things that you find out that you find that the Lord's church gets involved in. He didn't die to build schools. And look at the people that fall into that kind of stuff or some kind of other institutions. We often hear about institutional churches. The church cannot scripturally or own any such thing as that, not scripturally. We talk about going to a book, chapter, and verse. We hear about the sponsoring church. Where did they get that from? The church is autonomous. It is self-ruled. The elders that was told back in 1 Peter 5 to take the oversight of the flock which is among you. But you hear that in the world and you hear it out. It goes on and on. Bible chairs and youth rallies and kitchens and fellowship halls. You don't find no such stuff as that in the Bible. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 that if any man hungry, let him eat at home. He said in verse 22, "What, have you not housed, eat, and drink in, or despise the church of God, and shame them that have not?" Paul put the eating where it's supposed to be. Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, to save his people from their sins, and everything that the church is to be involved in is spiritual. It's spiritual. What we've done this morning and tonight, we've sang and we've praised God, and we've done the Lord's Supper. We give of our means. We preach God's word. That is the things that we can put our finger on, book, chapter, and verse. And I hope that it's always like that here. It would be a shame to depart away from that. But, you know, you have to be aware. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. All such unscriptural language leads away from what the Bible teaches. Anything that you can't find book, chapter, and verse for, stay away from it when it comes to the church. It leads to the teaching and doctrines of men. And Jesus condemned that in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. He said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So when we look at all of these things, you know, be what the Lord wants us to be. Follow his word and hold on to that for all that we are worth. Because any departure away from Scripture leads us away from God. I hope this has been a lesson that helps us to understand that our duty is to do God's will, to follow his command. Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And we need to try to do our very best to be what the Lord would have us to be and not move away into some kind of unscriptural things and become like another denomination. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, the invitation is always open to come to the Lord in obedience and do his will. And if you've done these things and not lived faithfully as you should, that invitation is for you to repent. If you've sinned, if it's private, ask God to forgive you. He's promised to do that. If it's a public nature, let the brethren know here that we might pray with you and for you. So if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.
Let my door is standing.